All right, Shalom. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes, we continue, inshallah. It's now time for the car program. And a very interesting broadcast we heard from Hafiz Kaka and the team, alhamdulillah, who went out in the path of Allah wa ta'ala and their experiences out there in Azerbaijan. All right, we have on line number one, Abdul Haq Chad on the line. Abdul Haq, my brother, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to you.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mawlana. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to all our listeners out there. Jazakum Allah khair and once again for the opportunity. Mawlana, alhamdulillah, we are ready for anybody that's got any problems, any issues. And unfortunately today we're a little bit short of time, but inshallah we will do our best to answer all the questions.
Ameen. Jazakum Allah khair time. Line number two, we have Brother Adil Umair. Adil, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to Mawlana.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mawlana, to all our listeners. Hafizullah, Jazakallah Mawlana for opportunity again to put our noble knowledge into fourth gear, inshallah.
Ameen, Jazakallah. Allah reward you guys for your time as well. Alright, listeners, your phone in program, inshallah, and the brothers are there to assist us regarding any questions regarding your car, motoring of the car. You know, you want some trade values, retail values, you want some advice regarding the car, some advice regarding servicing, you know, your car, your problems. Regarding your car, anything for that matter, call us on the number 011-854-1548. The SMS numbers are 24855 and also 0825-808070. Be waiting for the calls as well as the SMSs. All right, Abdul Haq, let's start with you, my brother. There is a question coming through here that, you know, the brother wants to know what is the airflow sensor and, you know, how is the airflow sensor? How does it work basically? I know it actually measures the volume of the air entering the engine, but tell us more about the airflow sensor.
Alhamdulillah, Mawlana, we talk a lot about the airflow meter, the airflow sensor. You know, people have given this this little component a good few names, but alhamdulillah, airflow sensor, it is very, very self-explanatory, but inshallah we'll do our best to explain a little more. As far as the airflow sensor or the airflow meter is concerned, what happens, as you said earlier on, it does actually measure the amount of air going through into the inlet system of the vehicle. Not only does it measure the air, but it does measure also the temperature of the air that's going into the system. And with the result, it then sends this message to the ECU, the onboard computer, and that would then determine and ascertain as to how much of air is coming into the system, and with the result, this is the amount of fuel we got to send into the system as well, and that's what creates the most efficient situation or perfect efficiency level as far as the vehicle is concerned. So obviously the intake manifold is where your vacuum is created, and obviously as your throttle you open, you accelerate, the throttle opens in the throttle body, and that sucks in a lot more air, and obviously that meters the air, the metered air with the volume and the temperature is then registered at the ECU, and the ECU then says, okay, now the accelerator has been depressed, so we got to send in a bit more fuel because there's more air coming in, and this is how the efficiency works on the vehicle, and that is basically the operation of an airflow sensor.
Lovely, Jazakumallah. Adil, me another question, my brother, regarding the brother wants to know how many joints, you know, talking of the front suspension, how many ball joints does the car have? I think there's two upper, two lowers. And what about the rear ones? Do the cars also have rear ball joints, Adil?
Yes, my brother, vehicle can be equipped with rear ball joints. Basically, on a control arm, can be located in the rear, can also have ball joints on them. But mainly, most of the ball joints are in front, but they minimum of two ball joints also can be located in the rear of the car.
All right, Jazakumallah. Like I said, dear listeners, it's your car, it's your phone in program. Give us a give us a call on the number 011-854-1548. The SMS number is 48855, and alternately 0825-808070. We're waiting for the calls and the SMSs to come through. Abdul Haq, talking about the ball joints, when do you know or when do you have to actually change your ball joints? Is it because, you know, when a car starts to move right and left? And also added to that, my brother, what actually causes the deterioration of the ball joints?
Gee, alhamdulillah, Marana, I think we've had this question before, but alhamdulillah, like you always say, we're all learning.
Gee.
We're all learning.
Gee.
Without doubt, yes.
What happens mostly is when the ball joint itself, we've got what a rubber boot or a dust cover, what you call. If these dust covers get damaged for some unknown reason, obviously you pick up plastic on the road, or you pick or a piece of wire or something that's laying on the road, and that damages the boot rubber. You get what we call dust or grime or dirt or water or something getting into the joint. And that actually makes the joint deteriorate much quicker. But yes, normal wear and tear on the ball joint, because the ball joint is a hard working component of the vehicle. It is continuously working when you're turning, when you're driving, especially more so when you're turning the wheel on the vehicle. So you can imagine when you're driving how many times you actually turn the steering wheel left to right, or even a little bit that you move it, the ball joint is continuously working. And the ball joint should be checked very regularly, and every service it should be checked. You know, by the technician. If per chance, you know, you do pick up some sort of, sometimes when the ball joint gets dry, you actually get a bit of a screechy noise, in the suspension. The other thing is if you get a bit of a clucking noise also on the suspension when going over a bump, a slight bump, then obviously I think you should take your vehicle in immediately and have the suspension looked at. Yes, your technician will definitely know how to check the ball joints. And if there is any sort of doubt as far as the ball joints are concerned, it is important that it be totally replaced. There are people out there that talk about reconditioning the ball joints and things like that. Unfortunately, I am no believer of that. I don't see how you can actually, you know, sort of recondition a ball socket joint. I doubt it very, very much that it is very effective, or it could be a long-term solution. So I would suggest rather, you know, spend a little bit, a couple of rand more and buy a new ball joint, and make sure it's fitted correctly with everything. Nowadays, the ball joint comes with what we call a lock nut on the top. So basically, you don't need to put that little split pin in there. But the older ball joints, the older vehicles have a split pin in there. And obviously, you know, as a mechanic or a technician, you should know that you should fit that correct tightness on that as well, and put the split pin in, and make sure there is no damage on the rubber boots or anything whatsoever.
All right, JazakAllah. We have two callers on the line. Let's take our first caller, line number one. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Malana? I'd like to find out on the 2007 Mazda 3. It's done about 220,000 case. He says the condition is fair and he wants 63,000. What do you feel? Is it a good buy?
He wants 63,000 rands for a... I don't have the book with me. I would say it's a little bit high, my brother. I would say it's a bit high.
So what do you feel would be a fair price?
Brother Adil Abdul Haq, I'd say, you know, 50, 52.
See, Malana, taking into consideration as well, the mileage is over 200,000 kilometers on the vehicle.
Yeah, see, my brother. 220,000 on the 2007-8 model, it's a bit high, my brother. I think 63 might be just a bit high.
So you feel between 50 and 52?
Yeah, if you get it for 20,000, all the better.
You know, the seller wants the most highest price and the buyer wants to pay the
cheapest
price. Inshallah.
I remember, Uncle, are you there?
Gee.
I remember negotiating with a white gentleman some time ago, you know, regarding a car, and I brought him down, and, you know, and he said, you know what, just take the car for free. Just rather
you
take the car.
You were very fortunate.
Yeah, JazakAllah, my brother.
Right.
Just make some mashallah, inshallah. Yeah. If you want to call us later on, we'll give you the exact book value. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All right, number to call, 011-854-1548. The WhatsApp number is, the SMS number for today, inshallah, 4885 and 0825-8080-70. The question coming through, Brother Adil Mia. All right, there's just something happening here with the computer. Anyway, the brother wants to know, he's got a Volkswagen GTI, right? Doesn't say which model. It's a 4-cylinder 2-litre. Adil, he noticed that oil was coming out from the coolant hose. What could be the problem, and any ideas how to fix it?
Mother, you got oil coming out from the coolant hose. That means the oil entering the cooling system in some way or the other. The most common way the oil can enter the coolant is a blown cylinder gasket, so
yeah.
You must have overheated the engine or caused some damage to the water channel in the engine block. But the most common reason is the cylinder gasket, or even could be a seal in front of the front cover of the engine. That's a normal common procedure on a Mercedes, where the front cover seal leaks out the oil into the coolant. But also, if noticing oil in the coolant system, we've got an issue, can be a major issue, and it should be attended to as soon as possible. It can get worse and it can cause some serious damage to the engine, so it should be attended to immediately, inshallah.
I mean, jazakumallah.
Could I just come in here, if you don't mind?
Sure, my brother, go ahead.
You say it's a VW, hey?
GTI, G.
G. Some of these VWs, especially, as the models get, earlier, later, you get what we call an oil cooler as well on these vehicles. And sometimes the oil cooler corrodes within itself, and end result you could get also oil coming out of the coolant side of the. It depends how it's corroded and where it's corroded. So I would suggest you look at that as well, Mona.
All right, jazakumallah. The question, Adil, the brother's got a Toyota Corolla 4-cylinder 1.8. The battery kept on dying, so he bought a new one and tested the starter and the alternator, but it's still dying. Adil? It's a Toyota Corolla, Adil. What he says is that the battery kept on dying, and he bought a new one. He tested the starter and the alternator, but it's still dying. Alternator's fine, starter's quite well, but the battery is keep on dying. It keeps dying.
Yeah, what could be wrong with the car is maybe there's a current draw somewhere in the electrical system of the vehicle. So basically what's happening is even while the car switched off, there's something draining the battery. So maybe most common thing on modern day cars is the tracking system, also of the, like the Nesta or the tracker system, which normally drains the battery of the car. Or maybe something could have been left on in the car, maybe a cubby hole, cubby led light or boot light, something should be checked, or electrical systems should be checked if the consumers are not being switched off after the car's been turned, or sometimes you turn the car off, but some electrical consumers remain on, like at low voltage, like the clock needs to be locked on to keep the memory of the clock, the radio, things like that. But sometimes the amperage of the consumer is higher than, can take higher preference than the battery, which can be drain the battery. So not a difficult situation. The current door should be checked and then rectified accordingly.
Jazakumallah. We continue. Abdul Haq Katrada, the brother, says he's got a Toyota Corolla 2012 model. He was told you got to change the clutch plate and pressure plate. How much will this set him back?
Jibolana, very, very good thing. Unfortunately, on the Toyota Corollas, like you said, the 2012 should be the Toyota Professional. And the Toyota Professional has got this bad habit of packing up on the original clutches. I don't know why. Yes, very, very, very importantly, I think, if you go out and buy what we call the LUK, the Luke clutch, which is a very, very good clutch, and is, I think it's an original clutch from Toyota itself. They vary from space shop to space shop, but you should pay generally in the region of about $5,000 for a clutch kit on that vehicle, plus minus. Don't hold me to that, Manana.
Adil, the brother says, in your experience, my brother, you know who sells the cleanest diesel? Who sells the best and the cleanest diesel? Is it Shell? Is it Caltex? Is it Cecil? What is your experience?
You mean who sells the best diesel?
Yeah.
Well, basically, all the oil companies, a few companies in our country, all of them, the diesel oil, the petrol is all the same. It's only the additives they put into the petrol that gives you the higher efficiency in the vehicle. But personally, the lower the sulfur on the diesel, the better. So the lower sulfur you can... in our country, which can be available, is from Cecil, is at 10 ppm. And I think for diesel engines, the modern day diesel engine, that's the best one to use in all the vehicles. Most of the 10 ppm, which is produced by Cecil, that will be a good one to use.
All right. We heard about Chevrolet leaving South Africa. Now, what the listener wants to know, what happens to his Bucky? Will the parts be readily available? And, what next for him? Should he rather sell the Bucky?
Yeah, if you're selling it, I'll buy it. No problem, Morana. You can buy it.
Gee.
I think Morana, we could go into the Opel business. Gee, Morana, look, as far as Opel is concerned, they have mentioned that they are actually
giving over the warranties and guarantees to Isuzu. Isuzu will be doing it for you know, the truck division. They will be doing it for a while there. But unfortunately, it's a lovely product. You know, Opel has been good as far as the Opel Corsa backing, the Corsa cars have been concerned. They've been good products. And, you know, it's unfortunate they're actually leaving our country. But with immediately, I don't think you're going to have any problem. But after about, you know, 5-10 years, you're going to start picking up a bit of an issue because, unfortunately, on the pirate market or the aftermarket products, most of the components are readily available at a very, very good price. And I'm sure somebody is going to persist and insist and carry on selling these components. And with the result, yes, the consumer will benefit. But obviously, the other thing is we might find a bit of a change in the price as well as time goes by.
Lovely. Adil, with regards to Buckies, my brother, which has the best handling Bucky? Which is the best handling Bucky in South Africa? For example, we're talking about the Ford Rangers. Also, we're talking about the Isuzu KVs, Nissan Navara, the Volkswagen Amarok, and also the Mitsubishi Triton, also, and added to that, maybe the Hilux. What would be your choice, Adil, from the double cab Buckies?
Morane, should have asked him this question after the Mercedes was launched.
Oh, yes, gee.
Moldav, we are the best-selling Bucky in South Africa, Moldav, is the Ford Ranger.
Yeah, Ford Ranger, gee.
Highest-selling Bucky, for example, in May this year, Ford already sold over 2,875 Bucky. So, basically, in the Bucky series in our country, Ford is tops. So they sell the most Buckies in the country every month. So basically, they top the Bucky shows. It's basically, personally, most of the, it's a nice looking Bucky. It's a very economical Bucky. It's a proven Bucky. And they all have the competitors like Isuzu and Toyota Hilux also come in there as a personal preference to most of the guys out there. The Mitsubishi, okay, not so popular, but also a very good Bucky. I drive one myself. Doesn't give really much issues, but it's more of a personal instrument, like Abdul, like you say now, the Mercedes-Benz X-Series has been launched, so the, as you can call the X1 Buckies that are being introduced now into our country, also very nice looking Bucky, but all on the same platform based on a Nissan Navara, so basically all our Buckies are linked together, and the chassis and the engines and basically are all one company, so basically a preference on its own that anybody can choose in the agility of the Bucky, which one they prefer, but personally, the Ford Ranger is, for me, is a nice looking Bucky, but also Buckies are not cheap, myself, you know, the over 600,000 yeah. For a Bucky, I think is a lot of money, but like I say, if you're really using it for a purpose, then it's worth your while, you know, but to use it for show and to not to do it for a purpose of using it, then I think
because of the money. Yeah, all right, to continue, Abdul Haq, the brother, says that he's quite frustrated. No, not with his wife. It says because he's having some problems with the car. Steering wheel lock, you know, when he turns the ignition key to start the car, you know, what actually happens is he's got to basically move and shift the steering wheel a lot to one side. Only then does the steering unlock. He wants to know, can he lubricate the ignition lock cylinder with something?
Jim, I don't know. You know, it depends on what sort of vehicle it is. Obviously, unfortunately, lately on the Mercedes, we've been having an issue as far as the electronic ignition locks are concerned. Well, Ari will be able to elaborate more on those electronic locks. But the manual ignition locks, yes, they were very, very, very seldom that they gave you any hassle. As far as that is concerned, what happens is it is actually tightened on a bracket on the steering column itself, and you know, we've changed many sort of ignitions and things like that, but as I said, you know, it could only be from a faulty steering lock itself, and if you're having any issues as far as the mechanical steering lock is concerned, well, obviously with the electronic as well, you should look at that immediately for, you know, you don't want to be driving your vehicle and have an issue as far as the steering locking is concerned, because when you're driving and the ignition and the steering lock is faulty, Allah forbid your steering locks in that position, and yes, I would suggest you look at that rather urgently, and yeah, I think Brother Adil will be able to elaborate more on the electronic steering locks.
Adil?
Jim, what's up? On modern day cars, especially on Mercedes vehicles, we have an electronic steering lock, which you insert an electronic key into the key box or an electronic ignition switch, which in turn unlocks the electronic steering lock, which reads the transponder in the key via infrared. A complicated system, a very trustworthy system, a very safe system, as far as security is concerned, very difficult to steal cars like that. Those cars can only be stolen if they're towed away or unfortunate circumstances. Allah protect us all by hijacking the car.
Amen, amen.
So in that way, most of security risks are very high, but also to bring into mind is the prospect also can be expensive. If one of those ignition units fail on a vehicle, can be quite costly. And the other serious thing is also it cannot be interchanged, so basically you cannot buy a used one and put it into the vehicle because they all are coded. So they are very very safe and as far as security is concerned, but on the other hand, the replacement costs are very expensive. So most of them really, very rarely give trouble, but if they do give trouble, it can be costly. But a very safe system to use, and cost is expensive, but security effects are good.
Okay, lovely. Jazakumallah. 8 minutes remaining for 9 o'clock. We continue just a few minutes before we terminate the program. Call us on 011-854-1548. The SMS is 48855G. Abdul-Haq, the question coming through is regarding the Toyota Previa. Are they still available in South Africa? The brother says he's got one. Are the parts readily available here in South Africa? He wants to buy another one.
Gee, my Toyota Previa, look, there are certain parts that are readily available in our country. But yeah, they are difficult to come by, you know, certain, you know, more rare components as far as those are concerned. Just a lovely vehicle in its time, you know, but there are not many of those running around as well. So if you're looking for second-hand parts also on that vehicle, it's going to be a little bit difficult to find. But generally, like your, you know, your service items and things like that, you should get them, you know, quite easily. As far as the body panels are that are concerned, you know, I haven't seen much of them around. So, you know, I'm a bit skeptical personally on those vehicles.
Okay, Jazakumallah. The other question is eliminating brake dust. The brother says almost every second day he's got to clean up the tyres and the mags because of the brake dust. Is there any way, simple way to eliminate or stop the brake dust from forming onto his wheels?
You must have try and use asbestos-free brake pad component, brake pad, maybe a higher-end brake pad that doesn't produce much brake dust. In today's day and time, most of the buys a good quality brake pad, that problem is totally eliminated. You don't even see it much on vehicles. So you must be buying a lower end, maybe a redundant brake or not a very good quality brake pad which produces all the dust and coming on the brake on the wheel make. Before, in the olden days, you could see it because of the brake pad component that was used at that time. You know, but nowadays, with the new components and with the safety regulations, that brake pad with the brake dust is totally eliminated. So the brother should rather use a higher end brake pad and spend a bit more than you can eliminate the brake dust on the roof.
I did one more question for you. You're the Mercedes-Benz fanatic, my brother. The question is it true that ignition troubles in Mercedes-Benz generally in those models, they happen and occur because of failure to replace the spark plug at the right intervals?
You know, sir, it can be caused, like you mentioned. Remember also, the spark plugs in today's modern engines are made out of platinum because of the little fuel we're getting in our country. So the spark plug change intervals is very important to be kept in, because you must remember, we're changing spark plugs in non-vehicles no more at 20 or 30,000 kilometers. We must be changing them at 90, 110,000 kilometers. So if they are skipped, the spark plugs basically are in the vehicle for more than 4 or 5 years. So remember even to bring in a time factor when to change the spark plugs. So for example, if the vehicle is more than 4 or 5 years old, Mercedes-Benz recommends that the spark plugs should be changed every 4 years. So basically, don't only take the kilometers into consideration, take the time factor also into consideration. It's important and can save you maybe a lot of money, like in the long end, if you just change the spark plug on time. So important also when the listeners are servicing their vehicles, make sure these questions are put forward to the technician or to the mechanic working on the vehicle. Did, was my spark plugs checked? Was it necessary to have it changed? You see, a lot of us fail to remember that when taking a car for a service, we take it for granted that the car has been serviced because you've trusted that there's a service technician or the workshop involved in a service in the vehicle. But it's also important to ask what was changed, why it was changed.
Yeah.
Be changed again. Why did you do this? Ask the question. So you know you can also be brought to attention why your car's been serviced and why you're paying for this and why you're paying for this. Just go there, take it willy-nilly that you know what, I see my car has been for a service, and you realize later on that why wasn't my transmission oil changed? Why wasn't my brake fluid changed? Because a lot of people see a guy advertising a major service for 600 Rand or 700 Rand, or you wonder that how come this guy is charging 700 Rand, other guy is charging 1500 Rand. There must be a difference. Either the guy wants to become rich, but maybe he's doing more work on the vehicle.
Yeah.
So all these points are important to remember also for the longevity of the car. You see, the car's maintained well. Inshallah, alhamdulillah, the car will give you good service and it can last you a long time. And today, motor vehicles are not cheap on stuff. You know, to buy a decent car is nothing under half a million Rand. You know, it's a lot of money to spend and to invest in money like that. It's not cheap, so the car should be maintained regularly and be kept in top condition all the time.
Anil, Jazakallah, my brother, Abdul Haq, Jazakallah, for the lovely program, 4 minutes to 9 o'clock, my brothers. Inshallah, Allah willing, we continue next week.
Inshallah.
Have a lovely weekend, brothers. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.